All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. the Learning Center, where we get together and wrap up the previous week's message. And this week, our messages have been running on empty. That was our topic, and tonight we get that opportunity to wrap it up. So remember, throughout the call, if you have a question, a testimony, a scripture that you would like to share, anything at all that God has placed on your heart, please be sure and press *5, and we will get you on the line to share with us. Without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Candy.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am the same.
Good deal. Well, I do anticipate a great call tonight, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback and some email questions and things like that. So I do encourage everybody, look, if you have any email questions, feel free, y'all can write this down, okay? Feel free to email me directly at telliuscarr2007@yahoo.com. Again, it's telliuscarr2007@yahoo.com. Or reach out to any one of the crew members, okay? Miss Candy Brooks on Facebook, Miss Shiren Bovey on Facebook, Miss Tiana Simmons, Miss LaTanya Rabisky on Facebook. Okay, reach out to them. Did I forget anybody?
No, sir.
Okay, Mr. DJ, reach out to him on Facebook. Okay, you can reach anybody. Miss Shabri, Deshaun Givens, you can reach out to Miss Brandy Manuel. Okay, Miss Artita Jackson, reach out to any one of us. Okay. Just reach out, and then we can get those to you because we get all kind of questions from every source possible. And it'd be some questions that we had to scream and we don't say on a phone call. Okay? So with that being said, we're doing our Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. We're going to learn the little things we've been learning all week, tremendous calls. Go back to SundayMorningRecords.org, and check out the calls from the previous weeks as well. All right? With that being said, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to get started with our SMB Monday Night Raw. Ms. Candy.
Father God, we thank you for everyone on the call tonight, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to come before you to share in your word tonight. Lord, we want to pray in advance that every word that comes across this line tonight is in line with you, Lord, and we want to pray that all of our hearts and minds are open and receptive to you, Lord. Right now, Lord, help us to remove any distraction from our thoughts, Lord. Help us to remove any distraction from our physical environment, Lord, and just help us to focus in on your word, Lord, and what you have prepared for each and every one of us, Lord. You have an assignment for each and every one of us, and we know that you also have a word that is specifically for us at this time. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, y'all, we always have our special in-house, not even a guest, but mainstay Mr. DJ with us on Monday nights. Is Mr. DJ there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mr. DJ?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. Give us a little synopsis of your week on this topic, running on empty.
When I first heard the topic, running on empty, naturally, I thought about gas.
Uh-huh.
I thought about fumes. And I said, now, how is this going to relate to us? And then with some of the examples and some of the things that we spoke about, it directly is related to us. First of all, I want you to imagine your life like a vehicle, and it requires gas. And you're equipped with a gas can, and you're also equipped with a speedometer. Now, you should never run out of gas. That's first of all. If you do, it's your fault. And the reason why I say that is because if your gas can runs out, then you can track the mileage through the odometer. If you look at the odometer, you should know how much gas it takes before you need to reset the trip and refill it back up. That's why we have odometers. Well, our lives are like that, and that odometer is Christ. And Christ, every life is equipped with Christ, but we don't use them until we're in trouble. Some of us act like we don't know what to do with it. You run out of gas, and you just sit there and you get mad, you beg, you know, until the next person comes along and give you that gas of what you're looking for. Well, it's just like that in life. You know, you equip with Christ, but you don't call on him until you want him, until you really need him. And what we need to do is stop doing that, and that'll prevent us from running on empty. You know, we have other vessels and other places, and when you think it's all gone, that's exactly when you need to use Christ to give you what you need to put you back on track and help you get to where you need to go. That's what I got out of this week.
Okay, okay.
Well, Mr. DJ, you know, we have sitting across the table from you, Miss Tiana Simmons. And Miss Tiana, are you there?
Good evening, Mr. Carr. Yes, sir.
All right. So give us your brief synopsis, please, of this past week.
Absolutely. So running on empty has been a phenomenal topic because it just really brought to mind what it is for us to know that God is always present. If we have a hope in him and believe in him, there is no way possible that we could ever run on empty. He gives us more than enough whenever it is that we need him. So running on empty is truly a choice that we make by not being filled up in his graces, not being filled up in his word, not being filled up in his love is why we would ever be presented in the case of being on empty. Now, that doesn't mean that in the natural we won't be on empty, but it's always remembering and knowing that God's right there to get us through and in and through each and every situation.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. Well, with that being said, we're going to get started on these email questions, so I hope the two of you are ready. I know y'all prepared, so let's get it going. Ms. Candy, you want to start the first email question, please?
Certainly. Question says, are some generational curses the result of empty spiritual lives? If so, how can our family who has never had strong spiritual ties break the cycle?
All righty. Can you repeat that question one more time?
Certainly, sir. Are some generational curses the result of empty spiritual lives? If so, how can our family, who has never had strong spiritual ties, break the cycle?
Mm-hmm. Tiana, I'm going to start with you.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, we break the cycle, as we were just saying, by choosing to do so. No matter how we look at it, we can blame those who came before us, blame all the things that happened to our family, to our lineage, all throughout our lives. Yeah, that's the easy thing to do. But we can also look it in the face, right? God tells us that if we truly believe in him, then he gives us the power to stomp out those things that should not be in our lives. So if that's the case, then all the things that came before us can say goodbye to and can be focused on the direction that he has set for us, the purpose in our lives, and work towards that. Be solely focused on what those things are and knowing that he will provide for us through it. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. Therefore, those generational curses, goodbye. It ends here. Choose heed this day that therefore this family going forward in your house you serve the Lord.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what about you?
Well, just because you came from dust does not mean you have to be dusty. What am I saying? I'm saying your circumstance of where you come from does not determine where you're going to end up or where you're going. What you need to do is realize Christ as an example. There are several examples of that, generational curses in the Bible and where people have overcome them. Christ is the best example, though. I mean, he came here in the lowest. You can't get no lower than born in a manger. You can't get no lower than that. He wasn't a fanfare. He didn't come here with royalty and silver spoons. You know, he was bare minimum, and he didn't owe nobody nothing. He didn't have the best calves and all the royalties like what kings or what have you, and diamonds and rubies and all of that good stuff. One would probably call him a common man, a plain man. For him to be the son of God, I mean, this is God. This is God's son. You know, in our current mind, we would think that this person is going to be decked out and don't have to work and got plenty of money. But you know what? He was very, very rich, but not the way that we think rich of the world. You know, but he never heard it or wanted for anything. And he showed us that it can be done. So that means you can overcome your circumstances of where you come from or situation that you were in. You have to make up in your mind to follow God. And that's the only way you're going to do it. You can break that cycle.
Cycle can be broken. Can it be broken? Can you repeat that question, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir. Are some generational curses the result of empty spiritual lives? If so, how can our family who has never had strong spiritual ties break the cycle?
That's strong. Are yes. some generational curses? Of course, some are. Not all are. We have a generational curse because of Adam and Eve. Was it because of empty spiritual life? Because of sin. You know, we can let things come in that shouldn't come in, but they can be, you know, start the perpetual wheel of spinning. At least the generational curses. Can it be broken by someone who's empty? That's what the question was. What you said again?
It says, if so, how can our family who has never had strong spiritual ties break the cycle?
It starts with that individual.
But they have to have strong spiritual ties. There's scripture in the Bible where it talks about vials or tubes, if you will. If you don't have nothing in you, DJ, how can you pour into me?
All right.
You see? In other words, the blind can't lead the blind. Two empty people, who's going to fill what up?
That's right.
So this, well, God comes back into play. So excellent email question by whoever gave that one. That was excellent. Okay? With that being said, let's get to our next. And I'm going to start with you, Mr. DJ. I know we have a caller. Ms. Candy, do we have anyone with a question?
Yes, sir. Caller, go ahead with your question for this evening.
Hi, good evening. So the question is, it states, my 9-year-old son has ADD and is continually getting in trouble at school. I'm a single mother working 2 jobs just to make ends meet and at the end of my rope, and I want to throw the towel in. How can I keep it together when I've just been laid off from one of my jobs?
Mr. DJ?
Yeah, well, first thing you need to do is definitely, the ADD is not the problem. Apparently, that's something that a child can't control. But you need to first acknowledge it. You need to pray about it, and you need to get help. Don't ask for help and then turn the help down. There are things that you can do for a child that has ADD. And then second, make sure there are some rules, some consequences, as well as some rewards to get that child on track. Just because you're a single parent does not mean that you're at the end of your rope. There are other mentors. There are people in your church, your brother, dad, community, several other people, fathers per se, that also may be able to relate to the boy. So that don't give up. That's the main thing. You know, don't give up. You got to combat it. You got to fight it. Sometimes you got to put your helmet on. You got to tighten up your bootstraps and come at it with everything that you have. And that alone in dealing with God and his way will take you through that situation.
Okay.
What about you, Ms. Tiana?
Yeah, definitely in line with Mr. DJ, but just a little bit more. In that, no matter the ADD situation, I think that's just tapped onto what's really going on. Mr. DJ handled that. There's always opportunities and ways and partnering with your child's school, et cetera, should be able to help him out. But you put that in God's hands. as it comes to this current situation, because you're reaching out because you've lost this job right now. Well, I'm here to tell you and can testify that God closes doors that we don't even understand why they're being closed. And there's a reason why you are currently without that job. And it's truly going into him and owning and saying, God, what exactly do you want me to do right now? And getting in alignment with his purpose, so with your purpose, so that you can take care of what needs to be done, and he's going to put everything else in place. And I know that's not easily here because you're thinking, well, I got to pay for this, I got to pay for that, pay for this. You know what? He's not going to give you more than you can handle, and he's going to allow for those circumstances to come into place. I've seen many of families who both husband and wife have lost their methods of employment for long periods of time. The mortgage never went unpaid. Electricity, gas, everything else was paid, and they were able to continue, but they also were able to grow their service and their life in Christ. So know that he will provide. If you have hope in him, he will give you strength through in and through this time. So please keep that in mind.
Did that help out?
It did, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for that email. All righty. Here's the next email question. They're getting a little tougher now. I'm going to share this one that I got via email. Start with you first, Ms. Tiana. The question is simple. It says, does grace and mercy ever run out?
Oh, no, sir. no, sir. And even when we think it's done, it's because we are not doing what we're to do. God, that's a gift. That is such a gift from God that even when we don't think we are deserving of, he is right there giving us that day in and day out. So no, it does not run out.
All right. Mr. DJ, what do you have to say about that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Grace and mercy, and I always call the phrase of his grace and mercy endureth forever, and that's the acronym for GAIN. He got all GAIN, which is his grace and mercy endureth forever. If you got GAIN, you got his grace and mercy, and you know it. So no, it never runs out. No, it does not.
Oh my. Ms. Candy, what you got to say?
I would say that I agree with Mr. Cash. I got tongue-tied. I agree with Ms. Deanna and Mr. DJ.
Okay. Grace endureth forever and ever. That's what it say, right?
Yes, sir.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. See, here's the thing about, you know, this call, running on empty. Does grace and mercy ever run out? When I got that email question, I'm like, wow, that's a good one. I'm going to say I agree with you all, but let's look at this through the lens of the sinner.
Okay.
Can we do that for a second?
Okay.
When you're outside of the will of God, you have already grown weary.
True.
Okay. And when you're weary, you start to do things a different way. This is why the Bible says be sober-minded. Sober-minded means to not be weary, not be tired. True?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. With that being said, when we're tired, we can't think clearly. Something that's beneficial for us and to us, we don't say that it's beneficial. So you all's questions are spot on. Absolutely, it never runs out. Does grace and mercy ever run out? But to the sinner, it does. To the sinner, they say, when they go through stuff, God is punishing me. In other words, y'all, you know when people say, shoot, I'm going to hell anyway, I'm going to live it up, what they're saying is they are so drunken. They are so drunken, they're not sober-minded. They're weary. someone, right. even maybe perhaps themselves, has diluted the God in them. In other words, they have taken the low road that says, I might as well go ahead and live it up here on earth. YOLO, you only live once. I'm going to live it up because I'm going to bust hell wide open anyway. And when you have that mindset, you do believe that grace and mercy has run out because of the things that you've done, God can no longer forgive you. That's what people in the world think. But God forgave us, yet when we were still sinners, he got up on a cross.
All right.
So to the sinner, grace and mercy absolutely runs out. To the saint, it doesn't. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at a natural relationship. When you have done so wrong, or when someone has done so wrong, and they really don't have a good relationship with that person that they're dating, they say, man, I can't keep on going back and forth because I've done so wrong, so I deserve this. That's why Tank made that song, Maybe I Deserve. But here's the thing for Maybe I Deserve. The counter to Maybe I Deserve is called In Spite Of. For the all that you've done, my grace and mercy, my love endures forever and ever and ever. For the saints, we understand that grace and mercy does not run out. Do you understand they have people in the church that will tell you God's grace and his mercy runs out? Who are you to tell somebody about God? They can go to God themselves. But what you're doing is you're suggesting, Miss Candy, listen to this. You're making suggestive, listen to this, Miss Tiana. You're making suggestive, Mr. DJ, hear this now. You're making suggestive notions to God that he should punish them.
Mm.
Wow.
Who are we to put a reprimand on God? Who are we to tell God what to do with his love? How many of y'all, this is Monday Night Raw, okay? How many of y'all have ever heard Christian folk, yeah, grace and mercy run out? You know what they're telling you? That's their sign to also be nasty to you. In other words, if God's grace and mercy run out, you know I'm going to get on you too. I ain't playing with you. Get off my face. Uh-oh.
Hmm.
Uh-oh. Am I lying, Mr. DJ?
No.
Hmm? Am I lying, Miss Candy?
No, sir.
Miss Tiana, am I lying?
Not at all.
Because typically the one who says grace and mercy runs out is also the one who's kind of straddling the fence. They know the word of God, they're in the word of God, but they're living according to the beat of the tune of the world's drum. In other words, they carnal Christians, because when you got love all in and throughout you, you forgive like God forgives.
Amen.
It endures forever. So the person who says it runs out is also the person who just want God to slap them, God.
Hmm.
In other words, they want God to have their mindset as opposed to them have God's mindset. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
Y'all don't have to cover up for nobody. Y'all don't have to cover up for nobody, because typically you know some people who like that. And maybe somebody you really love. Huh? Because they really believe that God's grace and his mercy runs out. Huh? They really believe that.
Mm.
The Bible says that if you forgive, he will forgive you. But if you judge, he will judge you. In other words, if you think it runs out, it does run out on you.
Mm.
Because when you think grace and mercy runs out, you no longer have hope. Comprende.
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Y'all follow? Good deal. Good deal. Next email question. Start with you, Mr. DJ. It says this. This is a less sassy person, too. It said everyone gets weary because we all are human. But just because someone gets a divorce, that doesn't mean that they ran on empty. It just means that they were tired of all the foolishness. What do you have to say about that, Mr. DJ?
Well, Mr. Carr, it depends on how you interpret that question. For one, when they say all of the foolishness, some people divorce for different reasons, but I'm going to go according to the Bible. And no, that's not that's not running on empty. Just because you got a divorce, that's not running on empty. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, because you are able to pull through that and do what needs to be done, to me tells me that you're not on empty. Sometimes you have to put your relationship in God's hands and be obedient to what he's telling you. God has instructions for you. Sometimes you may like them. Sometimes you may not like them. But the fact that you're diligently doing things the correct way and listening to him, that tells me that, no, you're not running on empty. Everybody's vessel can't be full all at one time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're running on empty. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Tiana, what you got?
Based off the question that the last part, if I'm not mistaken, said I'm tired of the foolishness, in that essence, it sounds almost childish and not focused on, yes, God does give us permission to divorce, but it's specifically for sexual stepping outside the marriage. But he also tells us that we are to forgive 70 times 7, right? If it's a relationship that he's put together, no man should put us under. So when we're looking at, even though everyone gets weary, yeah, that may be in the physical, we should not be getting weary in the spiritual. Keeping in mind whatever this foolishness is or the things that the person is doing, if these are things and you have not done everything that you can in your spiritual being with God and following his direction for the relationship, then you getting divorced, yeah, it does mean you're running on E. But if you've done all these things and God leads you to that, then in that instance, you're doing what he's called you to do and you're living your full spiritual life. So this one's a very interesting question because it really allows digging what's really going on in that relationship. Was it one that God even put together to begin with or one that you chose to get into? And in it, are you even living up to, he's still going to make things work. Are you living up to what he's calling you to do?
Okay. Well, this one brings me to this. It brings me to the fact of both of what you said was great. It was right on time. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and we talked about it last night. It says, let us not become weary in our well-doing and doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That means you doing good, good according to God's version of good, not man's version of good, okay? That means, Mr. DJ, running on empty, when God says, do not get weary, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, God will reap. In order for us to reap, that means something was sown. But he said at the right time. See, this
right.
is where y'all patience comes into play big time. Okay? So to say that everyone gets weary, at some points in life, but we can't really say that. Because if that be the case, did Jesus ever get weary? Now, his flesh got weary, but definitely his spirit didn't. And it's okay if your flesh gets weary, long as Satan uses your flesh to get to your spirit man. There's no other reason why he attacks the flesh.
Come on.
Satan wants you to run on empty on the outside, but forget about God. God wants you to run on empty on the outside, but endorse him.
Right.
Amen.
So much so that he says fasting. Do you not understand fasting is depriving your flesh? In other words, it grows you tired?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Y'all know that? But you're at the
Indeed.
Fork in the road, so don't think just because you're getting tired, oh, I'm in God. No, you can't fast or you can't get tired in the physical flesh and then rely on your own vices. It don't work like that. The Bible says, let us not get weary in well-doing. For in the due season, for the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. If we do not give up. Divorce is inevitable sometimes. Frankly, because simply, God is going to divorce some people. That means, see, divorce is called hell. I just want y'all to know that.
All right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough?
Yes, sir.
All right. But look at what the Bible says. Let us not get weary in our well-doing. Now, only imagine God talking about running on E. Imagine him divorcing people, but look at what he said. Now, if God tells us that, you know he is his word. So God doesn't get weary in doing good. Because we all say God is what? Good.
That's right.
And don't we then we follow up with by saying all the
time.
All right. Right? So look at God talking to himself. Let us not get weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Amen.
Y'all see that? I just need, even with this question about divorce and things like that and getting tired of the foolishness, let me help them out, Miss Tiana, Mr. DJ. There's a thing called weary, getting tired, and there's also a thing called not understanding why somebody act crazy.
That's right.
All right.
There's two different things. You understand?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get tired of the marriage. I got tired of trying to understand you when I don't. And because I don't understand you, I'm not about to walk alongside with you because your walk don't look like mine.
Mm.
My Lord.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
See, we confuse what weary is, and we allow and we stay in situations that we don't want, that we shouldn't stay in a lot of times, because then we want to be holy. And we say, but I got to stick in my marriage. When God says divorce is okay, now we made some, it's okay. If that thing is causing you to lose or run on empty, you might want to consider that. Just because you don't understand don't mean that you've grown weary. Because, see, I don't understand how yada, yada, yada. You see what I'm saying? I don't understand why, you know what I'm saying, we have things going on in the world. But some things will remain a mystery, the Bible says. It's not for me to understand. It's for God to understand. In the meantime, in between time, that don't mean that I'm growing weary because Mr. DJ acting crazy. I just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up because I don't want to grow weary, because if I grow weary of Mr. DJ, I would never, ever pray for him again. See, when you get tired of something, when you get tired of things, when you get tired of things, you tend to throw them away. When you got tired of wearing them shoes, you threw them away. When you got tired of wearing those clothes, you gave them away. See, when you get tired of something, you have nothing else to do with it. So don't get tired, because in getting tired, you're growing weary. And see, it's called weary. Well, I'm sorry, it's getting tired brings about weariness, and weariness brings about giving up. You know how you run, oh, Lord, I'm getting tired. Oh, Lord, oh, I'm getting dizzy. I'll stop. See? Y'all see it? Y'all see the cycle?
Yes, sir.
So I don't get tired of DJ. I don't understand you. And because I don't understand it, let me back up from you. But it so happened to where I get a better understanding. I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all. We got some crazy people in our families that we have yet to divorce. Hmm? You think I'm lying, Mr. DJ? Because this is what we say.
Oh, no. Definitely.
You know, that's just Mr. Carr. Y'all know how he act. Don't even worry about it. In other words, you got a good understanding of him, and you start to condone his behavior. Come on, tell me somebody that I'm not telling the truth. Who is it that you know that is nasty, have bad attitudes, yet you still associate with them, so you have yet to divorce them because, see, you have not grown weary of them. You said that that's just how they are. Maybe it's perhaps it's your mama or your daddy. How many of us, come on, wave your hands, make excuses.
Come on.
That's
you have
right.
yet to divorce them. You know why? Because you didn't get tired of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You just don't understand them. And then when you do understand them, you don't want them to be around people who really, you know, understand the word of God, because, see, they embarrass you, so you try and keep them separate as much as you can. Because then they'll say birds of a feather flock together. So how can you check anybody else and you can't check what's in your own house?
All right.
Perhaps it's your children. So just because, you know, weary don't mean, you know, weary and not understanding are two totally different things, people. So be careful about that before you get a divorce and before you stay. All right? All right, here we go. Get with you, Miss Tiana, you first. I have a caller. Miss Sharon had a question, Miss Candy.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening, everybody. I have two email questions that I wanted to ask. The first one states, how can I tell when God is allowing me to run on empty versus the result? I'm sorry. How can I tell when God is allowing me to run on empty versus the result of it being my own mess up?
Okay. Interesting question. How do you differentiate? And yes, how do you differentiate between it being your mess up and God calling you on it, putting you on empty? So first of all, if it's not God's plans for you and it's something you chose to do, then they're one and the same. He's saying he is putting a stop to it. He is saying, you know what? I'm choosing you to no longer be in this situation, and you need to call on me for the next set of directions. So I see how they align. So I wouldn't differentiate one from the other, because he's always going to be there to guide. And when we don't close doors that he is telling us to close, he'll close them for us. He's got that.
Mr. DJ, before you even speak, I'm going to openly say I disagree with that. I don't agree with that answer. They're not one and the same. But I'm going to let Mr. DJ go ahead and address that. Go ahead, Mr. DJ.
Can that be repeated?
Ms. Sharon?
Yes. The question is, how can I tell when God is allowing me to run on empty versus it being the result of my own mess up?
Okay. I don't feel that God allows you to run on empty. First of all, you're doing that on your own. His grace and mercy endure forever. I mean, he's not going to fight you, but You're choosing to run on empty. That's first of all. You have to get yourself together. And I don't even know where to begin to tell you about staying on the path, not giving up. When we run on empty, nothing ever comes out of it that's good or prosperous. Because what happens is you crash, you get stranded, and you end up calling on him anyway.
Okay. All right. Ms. Candy, what do you have to say real quickly?
I just was thinking about how we were talking last night about if you are running on empty, that's because you're spiritually empty. And not looking at it in so much of a physical sense, but even when you're physically empty, you do the thing that Mr. DJ just said. You call on God. If you are spiritually empty, that's something that it's like you've lost sight of God. You've lost sight of what he has for you. So it can't be that it's one in the same in the sense of the way that it was explained. But so much so that it made me forget the initial question. But I just wanted to point out how that is different, because there is a distinct difference in between physically running on empty, spiritually running on empty. So there's no way to answer the question in the way that it would be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this. You know, wow, that's a loaded question, Ms. Shire. Repeat it one more time so I can address it with everybody.
How can I tell when God is allowing me to run on empty versus it being the result of my own mess up?
Okay, here's the thing. And I've had these, you know, talks with people when they're going through things in their lives, okay? If your steps are ordered by God and you're doing everything right, in other words, can we be honest with ourselves? When you living right for God, you know when you living right for God pretty much, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, see, there's a difference. They're not one and the same. In other words, when you have done all that you can do, come on, that's what the Bible say, huh? Press towards the mark. When you have done all that you can do, come on, y'all, don't ever compare giving your all to giving your little. Please don't compare that and say they're one and the same. When you've given your all to God, and yet you've given your all to your boss, and they still let you go, why would you tuck your head? You must be fisting and know, because when you work to your boss, you was working as if you was working unto God. This is what the Bible tells us. So I know the difference because I know, God, that I'm only following your steps. As a matter of fact, Jesus did nothing wrong but do what God tells him to do. But it looked like he was running on empty. Even the natural folk thought he was running on empty. When you lost your job, you lost, you know, your title. I'm talking about when people scandalized your name, you know, when your money drained it down. They thought, come on, Job, that you was doing wrong, Job. But see, here's the difference. Job didn't do nothing wrong. This is why he said, woman, hush. Y'all better hear me. There's a difference. Now, if it was premature, I'm talking about the stuff that you caused, huh? The Bible says all things worked out for the good of those who serve the Lord. See, here's the key to that. If you did it in God, it's going to work out for your good. I've had people call me, can you pray for my son? What did he do? Well, he robbed the bank, but they're trying to put all these other things. Ma'am, I'm not praying over that. I'm going to tell you why I'm not praying over that. See, it got to run its course. You want me to come here again and pray over something that he got himself in? No, God's still with him, baby, but I'm not about to pray a prayer over something that he did. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we don't want to hear the truth on that, huh? Let me calm that down and let me go this route so people can better understand. Why are you praying, God help you pass this class when you know you didn't study? You get in the course, you get in the classroom, and you want angels to touch their paper? Stop playing. You playing. You really playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 89% of the people on this phone have done that, huh?
Yes, Lord.
Right. Yep.
But what about if you studied and you've done all that you can do, and yet you still made a D? Do you have the, I wouldn't be down. You know why? Because I know I gave it my all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
Y'all follow me?
Huh? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So the question was, Ms. Siren, say it one more time.
The question is, how can I tell when God is allowing me to run on empty versus it being the result of my own mess-ups?
The reason I can tell is because I know that my steps are ordered, and when they're ordered, I deliver. Meaning, I can tell when I give my best and he still allows it to happen. And I know I haven't done anything wrong, God. I'm guilty of following your orders. I'm not guilty of doing it my way. See, when I know I've done it wrong, I know I can tell. I know that God's you in the midst. But see, it becomes a guessing game when you take God out the equation and then you want to throw him in at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to hear me. Because if God told you to go, and yet you still run on empty, and you just, all you did was obey God, Jesus, all you did was obey God, Jesus, and you still ran on empty, what more? Huh? Because I do believe, although he was empty, he said, Father, forgive them. In other words, God, I know it was your plan for me to get up here. Uh-oh. But let me show y'all the flip side of this. When Jesus almost lost his identity. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, pass, Father, will you pass the cup? See, he almost, like, what did I do to deserve this? He was becoming more like us. Right. See, you know, Lord have mercy. See, when you walk in God, In other words, you know you're going to be the sacrifice. And when I do everything that I'm supposed to, Lord, y'all don't hear me. When I do everything that I'm supposed to do and the marriage didn't do work. When I do everything I'm supposed to do and I still don't get paid like they get paid. When I do everything that I'm supposed to do and then the plans that I had, they fail. I know that God is in the midst because God wanted to look so bad. Who? Because when it rise back up, who can raise a dead man other than God? I don't want to hear this. God wanted to get so empty because this is how he makes people believers. See, if DJ just lost a little bit versus DJ lost a lot, I need DJ to lose a lot because when he lose a lot, they know he couldn't do it. It got to be his God in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
That makes sense to y'all? Did he not make that situation stag? But which one of them doubted? Not a one of them. In other words, they didn't go into that thing and say, what did I do wrong, God? Because had they done that, they would have burned up. But when they know they just follow God's orders, that means if I can go through hell, God can make it so bad so then when I rise up out of that thing, he can only get the glory. That's how I know. I really hope this helping somebody.
Yes, sir.
God will make that thing look so bad, Mr. DJ, to where man know DJ can't come out of. People say, what did DJ do wrong? They thought Job had done wrong. What Job did wrong? What DJ did wrong? The thing
right.
is, DJ got to know it ain't nothing that he did wrong. Remember the one who was afflicted and they questioned God? Well, God, why mine don't have eyesight? You know how many people blind and say, God, did I do something wrong? Did my family sin? Did I don't have good eyes? Come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. God want to perfect that which is imperfect, but do you not understand that God allows things to happen? So as long as you're walking in God, you can know and be assured that it's him. But when you're walking in your own might, that's how you can tell the difference. The reason, look, you can tell the difference is this way. When you don't know the response to give. There go your answer. How you know if you're walking in God or walking in your own? If you don't know the response, because if you're walking in God, that means if I'm walking in God, that means I should be used to his words and his answers and his responses. So if I can't respond to negativity, I know that I'm the one who put myself there. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
If you're walking in God, Mr. DJ, if you're walking in the band, you mean to tell me you can't read a note? Now, Mr. Carl walk in the band, I don't know what, I'm like that man, Nick Cannon on Drumline. I don't know how to read it. So I don't know how to respond to that. That's the difference right there. All right, what was the second question, Ms. Sharon?
Second question is, can my running on empty be purposed to help someone else?
Mr. DJ?
Repeat that one more time.
Can my running on empty be purposed to help someone else?
Your running on empty is only going to bring you down. If you're helping someone else, then you're not running on empty. It kind of negates it. If you're helping someone else, it may seem as if you're running on empty, but you're not. You might even get weary, but you're still not running on empty. See, to me, running on empty means that you have exhausted everything and you can't do nothing else. There's nothing that you're running on fumes, and at any minute now, that's it. That's when empty, the two words, I guess what I'm trying to say is we as Christians need to quit dancing around it. Running and empty don't go together. That don't go together. You're on empty, but you're still running. Obviously, you're not empty. So that's where it's confusion. Either you're going to do what the Lord says do, and you're going to seek him and utilize him as a vessel, or you're going to do things your way, and yes, you will be empty, not going nowhere. And in which then that's when you're going to cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running on empty, it's not going to be beneficial to no one, especially you.
All right, now, Miss Tiana, what you got?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes. It says, can my running on empty be purposed to help someone else?
Got it. So in line with what Mr. DJ said, I will add that when you're giving to somebody else, you are being filled up. You are filling them up. There's no way that you would be on empty in and through that situation, because you're getting everything you need to nourish somebody else. So only chance that you will be on empty is if you're giving up on yourself, you're giving up on the situation. But anything we receive, it is our duty to be giving to someone else. So that's a continued growth, a continued nourishment that we have to do and we should be doing. So, no.
Ms. Candy, what you got?
I just have to say, first off, I love how she said you're giving what you have and to nourish someone else. Great comment. But I would agree with that, because we keep talking about how you can't pour from an empty cup. So if you yourself are running on empty, I don't see how that could be a situation where you're useful to someone else, because what are you going to give them except brokenness? So that's how we get into the situations where we're getting bad advice from people, because they're angry, they're hurt, they're bitter. They don't have the right resources within them at that moment. They're not perceiving things in the right way. So we can get something from them, but I can't see it as something that is going to be helpful in a way like I'm enriching your life or I'm helping you to get through this situation if I myself don't have anything to give.
Okay, okay. Can you repeat that question one more time for me, Sharon?
Yes. The question says, can my running on empty be purposed to help someone else?
And I'm going to say yes and no. I agree with what everyone just said, but let me challenge that thought process, because it really looked like Jesus was running on empty. And God gave his life so that we can have. In other words, he was a sacrificial lamb. There was nothing that we can do that could please God at that point. True?
Yes, sir.
So the Lamb of God was as a pure sacrifice.
You're talking about in a physical sense, Mr. Carr.
Hmm?
You're talking about in a physical sense.
Right.
Right, that's what I just make sure I'm understanding, because never in the spiritual sense.
Right, never in the spiritual sense. I'm talking about the spiritual, the physical now.
Mm-hmm. Physical, right, okay.
If I say it's a yes and a no to that, because we have to be careful, and I know y'all answered it spot on. It was absolutely quick. I'm just answering this question from the other perspective, from somebody else who may be confused between the two. So like Mr. DJ said, spiritually, no. You running on empty cannot be. But you know what? A negative thing, that thorn can be a positive for somebody else, because somebody else can see that and be like, shoot, I don't want to go down that road.
Learn from others, yes.
That's right. You see? But definitely in the natural, because even as parents, we say it all the time, I'll give my last just so my kids can have.
Right.
So I don't mind running on empty just so they can have. True?
True.
Okay.
And this is what we do. So in that natural sense, of course, somebody running on empty can be purposed to help somebody else. I mean, the man did it with Titanic. He let the lady get on the raft. We both would have been on that sucker. Y'all saw it. I was there.
No, she would have been on me. I've been on the raft.
But y'all get what I'm saying, though. So somebody running on empty naturally can be as a sacrifice to purpose you. You know how some people block bullets. In other words, they'll run on empty. They'll take that. A German Shepherd will take a bullet for an owner. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. And spiritually, somebody running on empty can also be the same way if you look at it that way, because you can say, hold on. Well, if they went through all this and they spiritually tore up, I don't want to be like that. Let me give y'all a case in point. Sunday morning breakfast started because of that, because I saw people in the church, literally, I'm telling you, I saw it, and I saw it, and I saw it, and I saw it. And they couldn't even answer real-life questions. They knew the word, but they refused to answer real-life questions. In other words, spiritually, they was running on empty. And that emptiness prompted me to do this wholeness. In other words, when I talk to families, I don't sugarcoat it just because I know Candy. I don't give her the benefit of the doubt when it comes to her and her sister issues. And I'm just making an example. That's not necessarily the case. You know how many people spiritually are running on empty? In other words, they start to take bribes because that one knows this one. Your mama know the pastor, they closer, so they refuse to check your mama. That means somebody running on empty spiritually. Uh-oh. Y'all don't want to hear that part of it?
Come on.
You know how many families suffering when we are supposed to be the church that love should come in and actually correct some stuff, and we don't because it's somebody we know? Do you not understand that you're spiritually running on empty? Because if you wasn't running on empty, why you don't have enough fuel to go help their family out? Why you not bold? But we always talk about walking in boldness. So when we walk in boldness, when we don't like somebody, when you going to walk in boldness about situations that are close to you, when you got to maybe sever some ties, it may mess up your relationship. We put other people's relationship before the one that we put in God. See, when you put something else before you put God, that means spiritually you're running on empty.
Yes, indeed.
You can't be loyal to God and to the world at the same time. So can somebody spiritually running on empty be of purpose to you? Yes, it can, because it could be such a thorn to make you want to do it right. Because you then can say, I never want to experience that with anybody else. So let me take what they don't have and do it right. In other words, whatever you used to work at, the reason why you have your business is because you saw the error of their business. And you perfected it, didn't you?
All right.
That makes sense? And just to let y'all know, that really goes on in the world today, where people will not touch your family. They won't counsel your family. We can have marriage counseling, but what about family counseling? Anybody need counseling in their family? Let's be honest. Anybody? Or are you afraid?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Your eyes, for real. You don't have to, I have to see it. Blink your eyes. Do you need some counseling going on in your family? Somebody so stubborn because they the mother or they the father, and they say that their way is the right way. No. And we give it the benefit of the doubt because they are. So in other words, we're more in tune to tradition as opposed to holiness. So you willing to let your mama or daddy slide right on into hell? And you're supposed to know the word of God. Mr. Carter, Bible says, honor your mother and your father. Are you running on empty? Honor don't mean that you have to bow down to what they're saying. Honor says that I set them in high respect. But even the woman who corrected Jesus honored him. But she also told him the truth. She said, even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the master's table. So if God is not beyond reproach, in other words, if he's not beyond correction, what makes you think your parents are? Hello, somebody.
That's right.
But see, you can't be emotional and serve God at the same time. Because if you really loved him, would you be seeking some counseling? Oh, I'm sorry, that's only for marriage, huh? Okay, let you tell it. Let you tell it. But you better get in a strong backing where somebody don't mind telling whoever is wrong, because, see, I have this ideology, Mr. DJ, when it comes to running on empty. It don't matter who it is. Take the name, take the face, take the gender, take who said it off. Look at what happened, and you address it. See, most times, if you look at it that way, like God looks at it, we'll get a correct answer. But, see, nowadays, we said, oh, that was my brother who said it. That was my daddy who said it. So I'm going to give him a pass. That's your daddy. You only got one daddy. And Jesus had one son. Did he not correct him?
That's right.
I'm going to wait on that answer.
Hmm.
Hello, somebody. So we can be running on empty and not even know it.
That's right.
Okay.
You can't be full of the word of God and yet in your family situations act like it don't exist. The reason why I'm harping on family is because the Bible says, how can you do ministry in the church when you can't even take care of your own family?
Come on.
Y'all think I'm lying? Come on, y'all want to pull that scripture, then we can get off the phone right quick? Y'all want to pull that scripture?
Sure.
Okay, let's find it right quick. I know somebody got it, huh?
Huh?
But I got it for y'all. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 and 5.
3 and 5. Yes, sir.
3 and 5. It says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
Yep.
In other words, you going to the church talking about how full you are, but in reality you're running on empty. You got shambles at home. Yet you want to take care of the church? Charity starts at home. Love starts at home. God starts at home. So is that not hypocritical? That we try and be churchgoers, yet we got a family that's jacked up? I'm talking about your immediate family. Jacked up. Some things you can't control. But are you the peacemaker? Are you the one running on four? Or are you the one condoning? The Bible says the uncompromising word of God. So does he care that you he uncompromising word of God? Like you love your mom and daddy, he loved Moses. But I do believe Moses did not go into that promised land.
That's right.
And that he didn't go to heaven, but I know where he didn't go. Because somebody named Joshua. Was it Joshua or Jonathan? Which one was it, Miss Candy? Joshua had to take over.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So to us, we just said Moses can bust the promised land open. To God, he said, I'm the one who's full. Y'all empty. Y'all don't think like I think.
Yes, sir.
See, he said the uncompromising word of God. Uncompromising. And we start to compromise God's word because of who did what. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So, if we start to compromise, are you full of the word or are you running on empty? Mr. DJ, let's pray.
Dear Heaven and Father, we come to the close of another call. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the knowledge, for bringing everybody together on one accord to lift up your name, to be spiritually fed, to keep us, to help us to learn to keep something in our vessels and not to run on empty, Father. Bless everybody under the sound of my voice and grant us traveling grace and mercy and bring us back together again to uplift your name again, Father. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 And I must look, let me tell y'all, y'all doing a great job because y'all hearing the word of God, you know, over the past couple of months, y'all, we have gotten, you know, Mr. DJ, I don't know if you, I'm talking about, we used to have like 70-something people on the call.
Oh.
We'd be flirting with about 45, 50 and stuff like that now, but check this out. The stronger the word gets, the word of God is going to do two things. It's going to draw you or it's going to do what?
Repel you.
Drive you away.
That's right.
Y'all, what I'm saying is this. Listen to what I'm saying. As long as you hear it, it will affect you. It will start to get into your pores. It will start to get into your spiritual pores. And when the word of God enters you, something has to change. A lot of people don't want to change, henceforth run away. Do you not understand the strong word of God nobody can stand up to? That's why the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Y'all know that's why it says that?
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, when it starts getting hot in the kitchen, people start to run away. You know why? Their excuse would be like, I don't agree with it. You're right, you don't agree with it, because people in the world never agree with the things of God.
Come on.
Hello, somebody.
That's right.
Yes.
Talk. So I'm saying this to say this. It doesn't matter. Come on, Gideon. How big the army is. Come on, Gideon. As long as you have the right pieces, Gideon. Because God armed down. They didn't leave. God cut them down. Because they wasn't meant. They wasn't built like that.
Amen.
All right.
Y'all built like that. Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study.
Good night.
Good night.